thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, where we're hearing stories about what folks are up to this winter around our state with our guest, Mike Beno. Mike is editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. He's going to talk about a devoted trailhead volunteer, about Wisconsin's Spice King, and a skating club, and a whole lot more. And as we talk with Mike, I hope you'll join in. What do you think of Our Wisconsin magazine? Maybe you have enjoyed reading the last issue. Maybe you've got a suggestion for Mike about something that could be covered. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Mike, always good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me back. It's always fun to get together with you and chat with some of your listeners and talk about all that's great in the greatest state there is.
Got a great cover photo this time around. Well, they're always good, but this is a shot of the Northern Lights. Maybe tell us about the photographer, Rob Resnick, and how he worked hard to capture that image. It's a beauty.
Well, we were glad to get this these issues to you directly from the printer, by the way, Larry. You saw this before we even did in our office. They just arrived this morning about an hour ago. So, I have some idea what you're talking about. So Rob Resnick is one of 40-odd photo suppliers, professional photographers from around the state who submit photos to us for consideration in the magazine. They give us the color that makes us look good. And so the image you're talking about, I've been waiting to see for, about 10 months. Rob is from Oshkosh, and our office is up here in Manitowish Waters. About a half hour from the border up around Ironwood Hurley. And Rob came through one March morning early, and he was heading back to Oshkosh, and he pops in the office. What are you doing way up here? Who let you out? You know, and he told us about his trek to chase the Northern Lights. Now, Rob was using an app on his phone called Aurora Pro, and he spotted over Europe some very active solar activity, Northern Lights, and he knew they were coming to this area pretty quick. He asks his boss off of work, and she graciously says okay. He gets a hotel room lined up in Hurley, jumps in the vehicle with all his stuff, and drives straight up to Saxon Harbor on the southern shore of Lake Superior. Gets there in the afternoon, a little bit of sunlight left. He looks around. Where is he going to set up to shoot in the dark? He chooses some ice shoves up against this concrete break wall, 30 feet in the air. I don't know why he had to go up there with his tripod, but that's what he did. Returned back with his ice creepers, got up there, and started shooting over Lake Superior, the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. And Rob was rewarded. He got up there and started shooting, and he said between about 8:30 in the evening, he shot this one, I think, probably around then, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and 2 a.m. he's out there, 15 degrees, in the dark, on the ice, on the shore of Lake Superior. And he popped his shutter probably, he said, hundreds of times. Had to have a little bit of long exposure going, but not too long, because there are navigational beacons at the mouth of that harbor, green, red, flashing on and off. So he had to time his shooting to be in between the navigational lights going on there. Anyway, he came up with a very good result, and it was hard choosing photos. We could have put that one of these on our three-page panographic in the middle of the magazine. It's a fold-out. We could have put it splashed across page 2-3 where you open it, but it deserved a cover, and also it allowed me on one turn of a page enough real estate to write that story and share it. And I think what it does is it shows the lengths some of these photographers will go to chase that perfect shot. And we're so fortunate and grateful to have that kind of work in this magazine.
Yeah, there are a lot of great issues. And by the way, we're talking about the February-March issue of the magazine that most people probably haven't seen yet.
But that's true. Larry, that's just how special you are to us. Yeah, they'll be landing in subscribers' mailboxes this week, we figure.
Mike Bino, our guest, give a call with your own comments, questions. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, Milton House in Rock County, I'm embarrassed to say I have never visited the Milton House in Rock County. And and there are some beautiful new mosaics there that you show very well in photos. But tell about the woman behind those mosaics and their creative process.
Well, thanks, Larry. I'm very glad you mentioned this story, because not only does it highlight some interesting and very intricate artwork people can go and see, there's some very strong history here, and it's a powerful story, too. Because this artist, Connie Beer, she's a retired art teacher from the Milton School District, and also her friend worked together with her, Vicki Cottom of Janesville. They're both retired art teachers. So the Milton House Museum in Milton is an old inn. And it was built in the 1800s, and they have a property there which is got the old inn where you can go in and see some local history. On the grounds there is a cabin, an authentic log cabin. It's tied to it. It's quite literally tied to it, because underground there is a tunnel with some masonry that runs from the inn to that cabin. And this, it was built in 1844. Milton House is the only certified underground railroad site in Wisconsin that's open to the public and you can tour. And the tunnel was an escape route from the inn out to the cabin and into the woods in case somebody had to run. And there was at least one freedom seeker who did that back during the days of slaves making their way to the north. So Vicki and Connie made a 9,000-piece mosaic that's in the Milton House Museum. It's one of a couple they've done there, and also there's some paintings there tied to it that's talking about, that's illustrating this story of the fugitive slaves making their way north to Wisconsin, and ultimately many of them went to Canada. And what they're showing here in their mosaic, again, 9,000 pieces, some of them, they make their own, with tools, they make their own pieces to fit. Some of them are from Spain, pieces from Spain, some were plates that they've dined off of in their homes, just the right color. The story they're telling is a story of a fugitive slave that's tied to a very powerful piece of music called Follow the Drinking Gourd, a slave folk song, the Drinking Gourd being the Big Dipper. Follow that constellation north. And the song dates to 1910 when a folklorist found it. It was first published in 1928, Follow the Drinking Gourd, telling the slaves to find Peg Leg Joe at the ferry to get him across the river. And it was done by the Weavers in 1951. It was done by Pete Seeger, poet Rod McEwen, early on. For my money, take your pencils and write this down. The best, most powerful performance of that song is by blues man Eric Bibb. And if you Google him up, there is a solo performance him and his guitar alone playing this. It's a haunting song, and it brings forth the power of this story. And you can go to the Milton House and see this, and it's just one more facet of Wisconsin that I think is not only entertaining but quite important.
Yeah, and I tell you, it really inspired me, just the whole business of the history of the place and then the beautiful artwork, ceramic artwork. Fantastic.
Yeah, that we've got the visual going there, and you can find that song pretty easy. It's a wonderful story.
Maybe Trina can find it. We'll take a look. Tyrone in Milwaukee, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Tyrone.
Good morning, Larry, my friend. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Milwaukee. Good morning, Mike or Mark? Is it Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Mike, yes. Thank you for that knowledge and that information. That the Milton House, I'll have to do what I can to get a drive up there and check some of that out up there. So thank you for that. That's very much appreciated.
You bet, Tyrone.
Yeah, thank you.
The magazine, I do get a chance to get my hands on a couple of copies of it there up throughout the year. Not as much as I would like, but still, it's a nice magazine. Keep that coming to us, please. Thank you. I'm aching inside still yet a little bit behind Saturday's performance there, so I just wanted to say it goes for both of you. You too, Larry. Get somebody in. I remember the Dandy Vine show, and I think maybe Forrest Gregg even had one for a while there. Gilbert Brown there, the Dave Gravedigger had a show there. But I know the Packers are owned by the fans there. Why isn't there more input and where the fans can and the shareholders can get in and say, well, you know, this is what we'd like to see the team morph into a little bit more? I mean, they did good. They did should have won that game. But I think even being on the bench there behind Favre and Rodgers all that many years there, even at the age of 65, I haven't played in a long time. I wouldn't have made that throw.
Tyrone, thank you so much. Well, you know, I understand how Tyrone feels. He probably feels like a whole lot of people in Wisconsin. And as I think about the magazine, over the years, you have probably done a story or two about the Packers.
We've done, well, in this particular issue, we have a sort of a tangential story. But to the Packers, you know, We don't put a whole lot of that in the magazine because that's probably the most covered theme in the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, with good reason. I grew up in Green Bay, and I was just yesterday I went out and took a little walk up here in Vilas County. And, you know, it was about 16 degrees, but we had some ripping wind off the lakes. But it still wasn't as cold is the morning of the ice bowl, and I live four blocks from church, and I was probably 11 years old, and my father and uncles were going to that game, and they weren't going to take me because they didn't want a kid. So, and I get it. I walked to church, Resurrection Church, which is Vince Lombardi's church, and then I walked home, okay? No hat, no gloves, walking backwards. You know, what an idiot. And that's what I remember. And the only other part of that was the games were blacked out in those days, even if they were sold out. And my grandpa Jack, who worked at Northwest Engineering, was waiting there with his car warming up his red Dodge Polara, and he took me bowling at the Golden Bowl with nobody in town. I'm eating a candy bar, and they were giving away tickets if people promise to go to the game. So I know a little about the Packers, Tyrone. I feel your pain. But you know what? The team's on the upswing. They got young players, and everyone's looking forward to next year.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, our guest today on the show. Jack in Madison, let's go to you. Jack, hi.
Hi, Larry. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wanted to echo Tyrone's compliments and praise of the show. You know, I feel very similarly. It's an awesome platform. It's great, you know, to talk about our state any way we can. I was just thinking, you know, unfortunately, I'm not an avid reader of Our Wisconsin myself yet. I'd like to read more, but I'm curious what insight you're getting into, like how much we're talking about the adoption of renewables in Wisconsin, especially wind, solar, EV charging stations, and all that infrastructure, you know, especially as we move forward into the current millennium and just where all that's going.
Ah. Solar technology, we're seeing a lot of solar installations in my homestead where I grew up. The home where I grew up, right across the street, was a farm, and now that farm is not handling corn, it's handling solar units.
Solar, wind, that's getting into the realm of science. That's very important. It's getting into the realm of science and straight information, and Wisconsin Natural Resources magazine handles a lot of the science there. This is a general interest magazine, so we maybe scratched the surface of some stories like that. More in-depth coverage, I mean, journalism at length, long-form journalism, is more the purview of that. I will say this, our Amish baker, who bakes the pies we give to people who chime in with contribute stories, they use a solar array to power their bakery, their commercial bakery, and their homes. So we've given away about 2,000 pecan pies from the Amish Diarists in our magazine over the last dozen years, and those are being baked by solar power.
There you go. And those pies are really good. Really, really good.
I got the hint, Larry. We'll get you back on the list.
Oh, man. Mike Vino, our guest, who is the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, having some fun talking with him. Questions, comments, maybe you've got an idea to share, give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert's our producer, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.
When the sun comes back and the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd, for the old man is a-waiting for to carry you to freedom if you follow the drinking gourd.
Oh, Trina LaSousa found a version of the drinking gourd, which is relates to the Milton House story that we talked about earlier, Mike.
You have some great folks working with you, Larry. You are fortunate. Right on it. Yeah, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear that.
Yeah, thanks, Trina. Thank you so much. Jenny in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jenny.
Morning, Larry and Mike. The timing is so good. I actually just stumbled across my first issue of Our Wisconsin yesterday and thought, huh, what's in this? I'll take a look. I ended up sitting down and just reading it cover to cover. I enjoyed it so much. And I think what I liked is the variety from history to what's the cool new thing, like that giant snowman that someone built. It kind of reminded me of a cross between Reader's Digest and Birds and Blooms, when people send in their little quips and their pictures of what's going on in their area. And I even ended up sharing a few things, one of which is the treasure hunt that you're doing. My sister lives in one of the counties where it could still be where potentially the prize is. So anyway, just wanted to say thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, I pulled out the centerfold, which is the deer by the river. Absolutely stunning.
Oh, Jenny.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny, for calling. Well, you're going to want to get the latest issue now, too. Mike, nice comment.
I didn't pay off Jenny to call in that comment. I mean, it's so wonderful to hear from readers like Jenny who discover this. And she drew some parallels. She was talking about Reader's Digest, and she was talking about Birds and Blooms magazine. I can show you the original concept memo of Birds and Blooms magazine from 1992. So this magazine that we're doing here is done in the format of the old Ryman Publications magazines, Birds and Blooms being one of them, that were published in Greendale for many years, mostly agricultural magazines. And Jenny's talking about the December-January issue. We've got the three-page fold-out in there with some deer. And, it's humbling to hear comments like that. We're so thankful that this magazine seems to touch some people. And we'll keep doing it as long as good folks like Jenny are out there to appreciate it and join the celebration of Wisconsin here in our pages.
Jenny, you're going to have to get a copy of the February-March issue because that contest that you mentioned is down to two counties, one of them Door County, and I've forgotten the other one.
Juneau, Door and Juneau. And that's exciting to us here. We've run these contests where we hide a key in a park somewhere in the state and give clues and challenge readers to find this. The payoff is pretty big. We've given away a couple of new cars, a couple of boats. We've got a teardrop trailer, camper, worth $6,000 that's on the line here. And we start with 72 counties in the state. That's all there are. And issue by issue, we eliminate 10 counties, give another clue. And the idea is it's supposed to be a little mystery that's unfolding. We've never seen it get down to just two counties. that's what's making it fun for the readers. Maybe I've learned to get a little more stingy with my clues. Most of the time, it's found within 8 months or something. So we're heading on a year, and folks, get out there. There's not bad weather right now. You can get out there and find that key, and maybe you got a nice brand new camper. They're built in Wausau by our friends the Mowers at TC Teardrops.
Yeah, they're a pretty cool camper. I wouldn't mind winning that myself, but I probably shouldn't apply or try.
Everybody, hey, no purchase necessary. Anybody can do it, and there's a rabid subculture of people who love those teardrop campers. You can trick them out with roof racks and generators and bike racks, and a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Jenny, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Well, there are so many great stories. I hardly know where to start. I Washera County, because Jerry Apps is an old friend of mine, and he's from Washera County, great writer. You have a neat story about the Wild Rose Skating Club in this issue. So why did the town gather around the ice?
Wild Rose Skating Club. So, I'll talk a little bit about Jerry Apps, and I don't know if you know his brother Daryl. But
yeah.
We'll talk about him in a little bit. Wild Rose Skating Club. So back in the the ice capades come to rural Wisconsin. We got a story from a reader named Jim Patterson from Oshkosh. It's not all that far from Wild Rose. He grew up in Wild Rose in the 1940s, and he sent in some photos and a story in letter form. He had just handwritten story about his memories of growing up in Wild Rose, and there was a mill pond there, and they made it into a skating rink, and the kids got out there and boots and whatever they had. Some had skates that didn't fit, probably boys wearing girl skates, however they could, they got out there. And some of the town, you know, old clamp-on skates and things. And some of the town fathers saw this interest. Guy with the local lumber yard, about 1947, Ernie Knoke, I believe, volunteered the use of some of his land. They made a rink. The town got involved, community endeavor. The village firefighters kept it watered, and they would shovel it off in Washera County road grader once in a while. And if it wasn't shoveled off, Ernie'd walk into the bowling alley, and he would rally all the guys in there saying, look, if you come out and shovel for these kids, I'll buy you the beer later. So he'd empty out the taverns and the bowling alleys to skate. Now, this wasn't ragtag. It all of a sudden grew. They got a warming shack. They had a sawdust floor in there. Then they hired professional skaters from Milwaukee. And this was figure skating. Professional skaters from Milwaukee to come up and coach these kids on how to cut a figure eight, how to figure skate. And they would have an annual ice shows there. And it went on for about 4 or 5 years. They'd have ice shows. They had a chorus line there. They would make costumes. People would get involved that way. Hundreds of people were standing on the snowbank, snowbanks outdoors, watching this professional ice show going on, the Wild Rose Skating Club. And it went on through 1953, and, you know, with the advent of television, I suppose people like to stay indoors and be warm. But this was a kind of coming together of the community that was really cool. And there's so many examples of that when people write in. And this is part of what I think is the magic of the magazine. You don't have to be a pro writer to share a story. You just write a letter in, and if it's unusual, as this one is, stands a good chance of going in. And, it's one of the stories. And, Larry, I hope somewhere along we may have some time to talk about Spice King Jim Ford, because Tyrone was talking about the Packers before. Sorry to shift here.
No, we can do that. In fact, we could do it right now. Do you want to talk about the Spice King?
I will, but before we leave Washera County, in our next issue, we have a beautiful color story about Daryl Apps, who's hybridized hundreds, maybe thousands, of daylilies in his professional career as a horticulturist and working at universities. So we're going to have his top 10 beautiful daylilies in the next issue, and he grew up there in Wild Rose.
There you go.
Okay.
With Jerry Apps.
Okay. Well, have you ever heard of Jim Ford, Spice King?
You know, I may have. The name seemed familiar, but I didn't know why.
Well, he was a storyteller par excellence, and what's we're all about telling stories here, and the best storytellers are the ones who you got to put just a little bit of windage on the story. You know that some of it may be slightly exaggerated, but it's entertaining. Spice King Jim Ford, for those who grew up in the Fox River Valley, northeast Wisconsin, he had on Channel 11 on television the Durkee's Backyard Barbecue, where he'd spin stories. He was a salesman for Durkee's Spices, going back to upstate New York, dating to the 1800s. Big company, big concern. And he was said to be the top salesman in the nation, okay? He'd buy time on television, and he'd cook and spin stories about Iran and the Middle East and Africa and where these spices came from. I don't know if he is correct, but he would do that, and then he'd have Durkee's mailbag on the radio, and he'd have a packer with him, like Tony Canadeo or whoever, and they would answer questions. He was the Spice King, he was the Olive King, and the Sports Authority. And he'd go around town leaning on people in supermarkets to get on the end caps of all the, and what he would do is he'd pay them off with tickets to the Packer Hall of Fame dinner held at Riverside Ballroom. He'd buy 125 tickets, there's maybe 500 sold, and to this day some of his customers still attend that dinner. But the best part was the story. He was just a big bombastic man. He claimed to have been in Barcelona talking one day, and he heard somebody in the men's room in the stall say, "Is that the Spice King?" Because he was so well known. And I still see here in Minocqua, they have an annual event called Beef-O-Rama, where they make beef roast, and they have the rump roast run. Jim Ford, Spice King Jim Ford, was the judge many years, and every year in the Lakeland Times, they trot out the pictures of Jim Ford with his with his friends, judging the bleeding roast beefs. Just a colorful character, and it's fun to have stuff like that in the magazine.
It is indeed. Nancy in Grafton has something for us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. When I was a little kid, you know, we lived on a 160-acre farm, and the buildings were in the middle of the farm. So we didn't have any electricity or anything, and I think I was 3 years old, and I thought, what is that thing over our table? Holy mackerel, there's lights there, and we got electricity. And that was pretty neat, you know, because the rest of it was because we were so far off of the highway, off of the road. That's why we didn't have electricity until so much later. And then it was winter time, and our road, our driveway, a long driveway, didn't get plowed out, you know. And so my dad went and took the stone boat, which he cleaned out the barn in the afternoon with. He went and he put all new straw in the stone boat, and he put a horse blanket in there, and he hooked up the team, the horses, and 2 miles over the snowbanks, we went to school, to our country school, and, well, there was three of us in my class, two boys and me, and I thought, wow, those are good old times, you know, that you remember all those years, but it was interesting.
Yes, it is indeed, Nancy. Thanks a lot for calling. A comment there, Mike?
That's exactly the kind of story we see. People are talking now about connectivity and can we get broadband. There's still quite a number of people who remember when electricity came and remember what it was like to live without electricity. And some of those stories show up in the magazine. And Nancy, you got a couple, write them up for us because we're here to share stories like that.
Great story. Well, and the electricity reminded me of another story that you had in this latest issue, which is about ice. Before there was electricity in a lot of places, people needed ice for their refrigerators were called ice boxes.
Ice boxes, and my grandmother used to call her refrigerator a frigidaire, and I never knew why she called it. Well, that was the only type of refrigerator for a good long time after ice boxes. We got a story in from Roger Lorenz, who grew up in Tomahawk, and on the shores of Half Moon Lake up there, and he describes his family making ice. Okay, they took a big gas-powered rotary saw and skids, and they would cut giant blocks of ice. They'd have 7 to 10 men out there. They'd cut the ice 20 feet by 40 feet. They'd saw them into smaller cakes and then float them with pike poles to the shore where they had a little conveyor that took it up and loaded these cakes of ice into the ice house with sawdust packed around them for insulation. That ice would hold into the hottest part of the year, into August, and the ice man would come around, and they would deliver cakes of ice, 5-10-pounders, to people's homes on the route, and they would put that ice in the ice box, kind of a metal container usually with wood on the outside, and that would be how they stored food. People would put cards in the window that told the ice man how much he should take to them, sling it over his back with a pair of tongs on a piece of leather on his shoulder, and that's how food was kept cold for a long, long time. The ice harvests was kept the guys busy half the year. The delivery went on the other half of the year, and that's how food was kept, how people kept kept it cold. And eventually, after electricity came, there came the refrigerators, and the ice business finally got converted over to Holland fuel oil or something like that. Times change.
They do indeed. But it's a great story with some nice photos. Speaking of photos, you have, here's one that you probably won't recognize, but you've got a section called Vintage Views. And I love the old photos there, but there's one of Frank's Tavern on South Water Street in Fort Atkinson. And if you look at that picture, there's a gentleman at the bar who looks just like W.C. Fields, the old actor.
Well, straw boater, I'm looking at that right now. It's black and white, so I don't know if that's a gin blossom as a nose, pictures like this, the coolest part about them is when you can see all the little details, like a hammered tin ceiling, or even looks like walls in there that are done that way. Old advertising and things like that. I can almost smell that place based on what I'm seeing there. And these are pictures all shared by our readers.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, and there are so many stories that we haven't talked about here. I kind of like the new feature you've got then and now that people can get involved in.
Yeah, so people then and now, what people do is every once in a while these came in, and we thought, well, why not show them? So what we've got is a picture going back to the 50s, something like that, maybe 57, and there's some siblings, three brothers and a sister, and they're standing there as children holding hands on the family farm. They're dressed up kind of nice around Easter time, at least the young lady is. And they got together, these siblings, 50, 60 years later, I think, and got together and decided they would pose in the same way, exactly the same way, in the same spot as they did 60 years before, before and after, then and now. So we've got a black and white picture of them, and it's kind of interesting to see how people age and change and how they've stayed together as a family. That's wonderful.
It is indeed. Mike, how do people get our Wisconsin magazine?
Okay, thanks, Larry. You can give us a call, toll-free, give us a call at 877-717-8925.
877-717-8925.
Correct.
All right. And, of course, available. I've seen it in grocery stores and other places as well.
It's around at some spots, and we also have a website, ourwisconsinmag.com.
ourwisconsinmag.com. Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really enjoyed this issue, and hopefully we'll have you back for another issue.
Thanks so much, Larry, and thanks for putting up with my long answers. I get rolling, and we get laughing, and it's fun. It's always fun.
It's always fun for me. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Thanks, Larry.
Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. It's a great issue. We didn't talk about some of the wonderful photography in it. This issue, it's really, really nice. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at quitting smoking. I did that a long time ago, and I got a lot of help from Dr. Mike Fiore, and he's back to talk about it and what we're doing now versus 30 years ago when I went through the process. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Well, many of us make New Year's resolutions, and they often involve healthier habits, and just about any list of popular resolutions will have quit smoking close to the top. But even with great intentions, it can be tough to quit, especially without a little help. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today as we talk about quitting smoking with our guest, Dr. Mike Fiore. Michael Fiore back with us, professor of medicine and the founder of and director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW-Madison. Great to have him with us. Are you a former smoker like I am? Let us know the methods you use to quit, maybe. What was your motivation? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email. Email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Mike Fiore, welcome back. Good to have you
with
us.
Great to see you, Larry. Great to see you.
Gosh, it's been a long time. As we look at this quitting smoking, I think there are great reasons. I think many people understand them. But how significantly does it impact a smoker's health to quit?
Well, stated simply, Larry, there's nothing a person can do that'll improve their current and future health as much as quitting smoking. This is one statistic that always just blows me away, and that is, of all the smokers in Wisconsin today, there's about 650,000 of them. Half of them, more than 300,000 of our state residents, will die prematurely of a disease directly caused by smoking if they don't quit. So if you smoke, it's like Russian roulette with one empty slot and then one bullet. There's nothing that puts a person at greater risk than quitting. And this is a great time to quit, particularly with some of the new resources that are being provided to smokers.
Yeah. And what about those living with a smoker? What are the secondhand effects?
Well, unfortunately, however you get smoke into your lungs, you put yourself at risk. And while it's not anywhere near the risk that a person who smokes a pack a day will have, secondhand smoke has been shown to cause lung cancer in spouses and close family members, for example. So if you do smoke, regardless of whether you're interested in quitting or not, to help the people around you, smoke outside. Don't smoke inside. Particularly don't expose kids to secondhand smoke.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, Kale in Green Bay, I think, is in the process of quitting. Let's hear from Kale. Hi, Kale.
Hi. It's actually Carol. You know what? The only people that are happy about my quitting effort are my friends. I'm looking forward to neurosurgery. I needed to be 1 month without cigarettes, so because they wouldn't have done they won't do the surgery if I'm not. So I had a 44 year habit with cigarettes. I was the only one of my friends in college who didn't smoke, and then I started smoking. Back in the 70s. And I am looking back on all of this, you know, and I was pretty much a pack-a-day smoker once I got into it. And my lungs stayed clear, and I am not kidding you. Every chest x-ray they did, they said, the worst I ever heard was my lungs are essentially normal. And so I did not want to quit because I thought I was the exception. And of course, something else would, you know, what could have happened for sure. But anyway, here's what I did. My doctor prescribed varenicline, which is the generic form of Chantix. And they were right. Once you get into taking that, I started 3 weeks ago, I think. I just don't care anymore. I just don't smoke.
Oh, good for you, Carol. Comment, Dr. Fiore.
Well, first of all, Carol, congratulations. You're doing a smart thing, whether the chest x-ray showed anything or not. Your likelihood of doing well in surgery is markedly increased as a result of you quitting and being off a month will be great. You're right that varenicline, for many people, is an incredibly helpful pill to help people quit smoking. And we use it more and more. It's been shown to be more effective than some of the nicotine medicines that are also effective. So, Carol, I'm just going to end by saying congratulations. You're doing a smart thing for your health, for your wallet, for your family, for your friends. Congratulations and good luck with your surgery.
Yeah, good luck with that, Carol. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Are there some statistics about how many times the average person tries to quit before they're successful? If you fail once or more, does it mean you'll never succeed?
Just the opposite, Larry. What we know is that the more times you try, the greater the likelihood that you will succeed. So don't be discouraged. It's a new year. It's a fresh start. And I want to tell you about a new free service, but from the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline. And if you go on Larry's site, you can get all of the details about this. But the Quitline is a free counseling service. You can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or you could text READY to 34191, or go on the website. What it allows you to do is to get a trained counselor who will work with you to develop a quit plan. But in the old days, we used to give 2 weeks of free medicine, free nicotine patches or gum or lozenges. You could choose which type. And now this year, beginning on January 1st, for the first time, we're offering everyone 8 weeks of free medicine. And that's medicine that gets mailed to your house. You don't need a prescription. You don't need to go to the pharmacy. But it will markedly increase the likelihood of you quitting. And we know that those who take the medicine for 8 weeks are much more likely to quit. So call the Quit Line. It's a great service. A lot of people are using it. This is a limited time offer for 8 weeks of free medicine. It's a great time to quit.
And the number is, we have this on our site today, but it's 800-784-8669, if I'm not mistaken. 800-784-8669, or 800-QUIT-NOW, the words that that you would use for that. Or you can go to wiquitline.org. And we've got all this information at ideas@wpr.org/Larry under the today's comments, in the comments section. So how were you able to do this year?
Well, we need to thank the Wisconsin Health Department that has dedicated more funding to allow us to offer more nicotine patches. The CDC helps as well. But it's the Wisconsin Tobacco Control Program that works across the state to reduce smoking in our state. And that's a good news story, as you know, Larry. Back in the 60s, when smoking rates were at their peak, half of all adults smoked, about 50% of all adults smoked. Today in Wisconsin, we're down to about 14%. So we've made great progress, but we still have 650,000 smokers. And we want to urge every one of them to take advantage of the free resources to try to quit. No matter how many times you've tried in the past, it's a great time to quit. And we're ready to help you in any way we can.
You mentioned the nicotine patch. How does that work with your body?
Okay, so think about the Carol who called a few minutes ago, who smokes a pack of cigarettes a day, or used to before she quit 2 weeks ago. She was delivering through every puff of smoke she made. She was delivering nicotine that got into the body through the lungs and then went immediately to the brain, and within 10 seconds bound to neuroreceptors in the brain that result in feeding the addiction part of smoking. When you quit, particularly for someone like her who's been smoking for 44 years, the body really has a hard time adjusting to the lack of nicotine. So think about the nicotine patch as a bridge. You put it on like a Band-Aid, and it gradually delivers nicotine so that you could focus on breaking the habit part of smoking while the patch takes care of the addictive part and makes it easier for the brain that's in withdrawal. And then once you've got the habit broke, you can wean off the nicotine patches or the gum or the lozenges, and that's the mechanism of action, Larry.
So it helps the body, but the habit part is something you kind of have to work on a bit.
Absolutely. You know, for so many people who smoke, their cigarettes are built into every moment of their lives. For example, most pack-a-day smokers don't even get fully out of bed before they light their first cigarette. And they typically have their first cigarette within 5 minutes of awakening. And that's because during the night, their blood nicotine level fell and their body is saying, feed me, feed me. I want some nicotine. The brain is saying that to the person. So by doing, this is just a way to deal with that withdrawal set of symptoms.
And we can talk some more about that with our guest today. Dr. Mike Fiore will be with us right up until 12:30 today. And I hope you'll join in with your own comments or your own experiences with quitting smoking. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. Take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with Dr. Mike Fiore. I'm Larry Mehler. Thanks for joining in today. Larry Mehler here, and hands down, one of the most important things you can do for your health is to stop smoking. Dr. Mike Fiore is with us. Dr. Michael Fiore, professor of medicine and founder and director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at UW-Madison. So, tell us who helped you quit smoking cigarettes. Did you rely on community programs? How did your loved ones support you? Maybe you used a helpline. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. And Tom in Madison is online with a comment. So let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Afternoon. So I quit smoking in 2020 when I was diagnosed with peripheral artery disease, PAD, which I had no idea anything about. And I found out that blood clots were caused by my smoking. Lucky for me, I got involved with a program the doctor's talking about. And I used a combination of Chantix and a patch. I have never looked back. I cannot say how happy I am that I beat it. You know, it's a long, long journey, but it was because UW's program gave me so much good assistance that I was able to fight it.
Oh, Tom, thank you so much. Dr. Mike Fiore, comment.
Well, Tom, I just want to also congratulate you. What a great thing you've done for your health. And a lot of people don't know much about peripheral artery disease, but it really can be brutal. It can cause, as you say, blood clots that for many individuals lead to amputations of the legs or the arms. So it's a really bad actor. And kudos to you for seeking out and taking advantage of what could help you to quit beyond just willpower. I think there's a misconception out there that smoking is something that people should just be able to do on their own, and somehow you're weak if you use treatment. In fact, it's just the opposite. You're smart and you're strong because you're using all the tools available. And just as you wouldn't manage a heart attack or hypertension or diabetes just with willpower, nor should you do this with smoking. Talk to your doctor. She or he may have really helpful advice and can write prescriptions. Take advantage of the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line, which gives now 8 weeks of free nicotine replacement medications. Go to smokefree.gov, which is the National Cancer Institute's portal for all sorts of resources to help you to quit, including a text-based program to help you to quit. It's a great time to quit. We have lots of resources. Don't suffer alone. You could get over your smoking no matter how many times you've tried in the past. It's a great time to quit.
Tom, thank you again for calling. And that quit line, I should give that again. It's 800-784-8669 and still available. 8 weeks of medications that can help you quit smoking, and it won't cost you a cent. So there you go.
And it'll get mailed to your house. You don't even have to go see your doctor to get access to it. We're able to screen you and give you the medicine, and we'll mail it to your house so you could start in and get going to be quit for good.
800-784-8669 is that number to call. Well, Peter in New Lisbon will give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Okay. I smoked from a teenager probably till I was about 40 or so, 45 maybe. And I tried quitting multiple times. I used the patch. I used the gum. And that just seemed to be a crutch for me. And I wound up quitting with a prescription from my doctor for Chantix. I've never had a cigarette since. It was able to take the edge off. And I was finally able to do it.
Oh, Peter, thank you for calling. Comment, Dr. Fiore?
Yeah, Peter, I also want to just say congratulations. And I'm going to take a minute and talk about Chantix or varenicline, which is the chemical name of the drug, just so that folks understand it. Because, Peter, you're not unusual that, you know, for whatever reason, the nicotine wasn't able to get you over the hump, but Chantix was. So what Chantix does, it's a pill that goes to the brain and simulates the kind of neuro effects that cigarettes do. So it, in essence, releases dopamine, which is what nicotine does, but it also blocks nicotine in the brain, so you take a drag of cigarette smoke and you don't get that reinforcing buzz that most people get, particularly the first cigarette of the morning. So it both simulates nicotine and blocks nicotine. It's a remarkable drug that was designed just to help people quit. Again, it's called varenicline or Chantix. You need a prescription, so you're going to have to see your doctor for that. It is even more effective than nicotine, although nicotine is effective for many people. Take advantage of it. Don't try to quit on your own if you, because insurance companies should pay for it as well. I want to mention that as well. So it's a great time to quit.
Peter, thank you again. Lanny in Ashland will go to you next. Hi, Lanny.
Hello, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys had mentioned some sort of drug that you could take besides Chantix. And what was it called? Varexacin or something like that? I was just trying to get the name of that, you know, because I know you guys mentioned it earlier.
Well,
because I've tried to quit so many times, and I'm 72 years old, and my deal is right now I need a hip replacement. And they said, well, you can't, you know, get a hip replacement unless you quit smoking. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, which is understandable because they told me all the negative things with smoking, how your infection will just keep getting that worse. You know, nicotine's not a good thing, but I've tried everything. I just don't know what to do, you know.
Well, Lanny, I feel for you because you're not alone. Tobacco has an incredible grip on a lot of people. The key thing is you just keep on trying. So the drugs that we talked about earlier were the nicotine replacement medicines, as well as Chantix. And what you're probably remembering is the chemical name I use for Chantix, which is called varenicline, V-A-N-E-L-I-N-E. So varenicline or Chantix, if you just Google Chantix, C-H-A-N-T-I-X, you'll get the chemical name of it, but you don't need that. You could just tell your doctor you need the pill, but it sounds like you've already tried that. There's another pill that we use before Chantix that some people find helpful, and that's called bupropion, B-U-P-R-O-P-I-O-N, bupropion. And you, if you talk to your doctor or go on to our center's website, it'll describe all the medicines and how they work and how you access them. One last thing I want to say to you, Lonnie, what we've found is with some people like you, it's helpful to combine medicines. So for example, use the patch, but also buy nicotine mini lozenges. They're like Tic Tacs. So you have the patch on, and then whenever you have an urge to have a cigarette, promise yourself for a day you're going to put a lozenge in your mouth that dissolves like a Tic Tac, and it'll take the edge off. And if it doesn't take the edge off with the first one, put a second one in your mouth. And combining two nicotine medicines often is a way that individuals like you are able to do this. The key thing is don't give up. You'll be able to do it, Lonnie, and get that hip taken care of.
Good luck, Lonnie. Thank you very much for calling. Glenn in Glen Arbor, your turn. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thanks for the show. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if I'm a smoker, and I've thought about the components of what I smoke a little bit. And I know cigarettes have all kinds of junk in them, but the nicotinic acid, is there these pills, Chantix and things, are those mimicking nicotinic acid?
So they are, a synthetic nicotine or, yeah, okay. Glenn, thanks.
Yeah. So, Glenn, thanks for calling. Just so you know, there are actually more than 5,000 chemicals in every puff of cigarette smoke, 5,000, 50 of which are carcinogens. As I said earlier in the show, there's no legal product in America today that is as deadly as cigarettes. You're right to at least be thinking about quitting. So it's nicotine, not nicotinic acid, which is a different product. It's nicotine itself. And Chantix or varenicline is not synthetic nicotine. Rather, it mimics nicotine in that it causes the brain to release the chemicals that you crave when you're addicted to cigarette smoking, dopamine specifically. But it has another action, and that is it blocks the nicotine when it gets to the brain so you don't get the reinforcing effects. So it's not truly a synthetic nicotine. Rather, it mimics it and does more than that. Nicotine patches and gum and lozenges are just nicotine. In fact, derived from tobacco products in most instances. And it's important to know that nicotine, while it can be addictive, is not harmful. So you're not putting yourself at risk by taking the nicotine patch or the nicotine mini lozenge.
Tom in Buffalo County will give you a chance to join in now. Hi, Tom.
Yes, hello. Yeah, I had smoked for 50 years. I'm 74 years old now. And I tried the Chantix, and it works a treat. It starts out, like you said, blocking that reaction you get. That's kind of weird from smoking. And it takes a while to get used to it. I mean, it took me about 4 months to taper it off and get rid of all the habits that you have, basically like the oral fixation you'll have. And the other thing was, man, I had terrible dreams, but I said, no, I'm going to stick with this Chantix despite that because, it works.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I want to congratulate you as well, Tom, and that's a good point for me to mention about the side effects of varenicline. And there are two that are very common. a third of people have vivid dreams and sleep disruption. So, Tom, that's the one you got. And sometimes they're pretty unpleasant. One thing you could do to lessen the sleep disruption is to take the second pill. It's a twice-a-day pill, the second one with supper rather than bedtime. So that's one thing you could do. The other side effect that's also about one-third of people is some nausea. And to deal with that, you don't want to take the medication on an empty stomach. Always take it with some food. So those are the two big side effects, sleep disruption, and we have a way to lessen that, in nausea, and we have a way to lessen that.
JV emailed us, how can you break the habit of long-term use of nicotine gum? He has a relative who seems to be using it as a substitute to smoking and has not been able to stop.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, because that's an important point. So here's what I say, because about 5% of people who use nicotine to quit or long-term, and most of those people use the gum or the mini lozenges long-term, virtually no one uses the patch long-term. So the first thing I would say to that family member is kudos for you for quitting. Because it's the cigarette smoke that's going to kill you, not the nicotine product. But if you want to quit the nicotine product, which I would try to do for sure, you could do to get, if you're using the gum, which it sounds like this person is doing, get a really spicy gum, like Big Red or one of those, and mix it with the nicotine gum, and then gradually when you use the gum, use a smaller piece of the nicotine and more of the Big Red gum, so that you start substituting this product that has no nicotine in it, and some people are able to use that to gradually get off of the gum. But the key point is, don't go back to smoking because you're using nicotine. Even if, unfortunately, you choose to use nicotine for the rest of your life, it is a smart and a safe decision.
Morris in Pelican Lake emailed us. He'd like to hear more about snuff and chewing tobacco, the risks, and how do you quit that?
Thank you. So snuff or chewing tobacco, the risks from that are primarily cancer of the mouth. And it's much less than from smoking, but it is a real risk. And I've seen too many patients who've had part of their mouth or jaw removed because of cancer of the mouth. How do you quit that? It's a tough thing to quit, but you can do it. And I would use the same medications that you use for quitting smoking. They work the same way, because the thing that keeps most people using chewing tobacco or chew is the nicotine and their addiction to that.
Yeah, it would seem like it's something you're putting in your mouth, and maybe the gum would be, for some people at least, would be a good alternative, the nicotine gum.
It's a reasonable thing to try, Larry.
Yeah, for sure. Well, young people, there are new nicotine products being marketed for the younger generation. The vapes and nicotine pouches are popular, and there's risk to that for young people.
Right. So let's talk about vaping products. Most people know about Juul. But there's lots of them, and there's these new products, pouches, for example, that are coming into the marketplace. So the first thing I would say is that no young person should be using any nicotine-containing product, because we know that the adolescent brain and the young brain before age 20 is highly susceptible to nicotine, and it causes permanent changes in the brain that makes that individual at high risk of smoking for the rest of their life. And many people who start with vaping, particularly young people, advance onto smoking cigarettes to get a bigger hit. So I would definitely stay away from it. What is more complicated is the issue of adults who want to use vaping products to quit. And some have tried that and many have used it successfully. Couple things about using vaping products to try to quit. First, none of them are approved for this purpose by the FDA. They've not been tested. Secondly, make sure you're not becoming what we call a dual user, both vaping and smoking. And lastly, if you use it, as I said, totally switch to the vaping product and have a time limit on how long you'll allow yourself to use the vaping product once you've gotten cigarettes out of your life.
All good points. And as we're kind of near the end of the show here, I wanted to go back to the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit line and maybe just run over that quickly about what people can get and how they can be helped.
Sure. So the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit line, which anybody could call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or go on to Larry's site and you'll see how to access it via a text or via a website as well. You'll get a live counselor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, who'll help you set up a quit plan. But what Wisconsin is doing for a limited time is also sending people who call, who want it, 8 weeks of free nicotine medicine. And you get to choose whether you want the patch, the gum, or the lozenge. And that'll be available to help you to quit. So you have both the counseling and a quit plan and a number to call back when you're having challenges. But you also have medicine to deal with the physical addiction of cigarettes. So it's a great resource. Also, go onto our website, www.ctri.wisc.edu. And everything we talked about today is on there, as well as a lot of information about the medications.
This is always a pleasure to talk with you, Mike. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And all of that information, the contacts, is available. Go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry and go to today's date in the comments section, and all that Mike talked about is there. Our lines are all full. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but Mike, it's been a pleasure. Thank you again, and I hope we can do this again. Thanks, Mike.
Sounds great, Larry. Sounds great. Thanks, everybody.
Dr. Mike Fiore, founder and director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at UW-Madison. Great to have him back. Taking a look at tomorrow on the show, Dr. Bill Stork back with us to give advice about keeping your dog or cat healthy. He has an update on the respiratory diseases in dogs, and he'll tell you what it means when your dog wags its tail. That's tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.